Judges 13 and verse 1, and I'd like to make this introductory remark. The history of the book of Judges ends with the story of Samson. That is, there is a decline, a moral decline, downward, downward, downward until Samson. It's the lowest point. Well, then, isn't there something after the history of Samson? Yes. Two things are taken up, and they're the way of summary. The first is the history of the sin that broke out in Israel and was dealt with, and then sin of a different kind is looked at, also dealt with, and that ends the book of Judges. But the history of the judges themselves ends with Samson. But we say, well, you know, Samson's birth starts in the 14th chapter. But Samson's history does not start in the 14th chapter. Samson's history starts in the 13th chapter. And I'd like to look at that chapter a little bit with perhaps a word to parents that might be an encouragement and help. One of the things that parents are looking for today, crying out to God for, is wisdom to bring their children up for the Lord. And Satan is busy. We're in conflict with the foe. And he's attacking the family. Terribly attacking the family. I know the religious groups all around us are having all sorts of efforts to rescue the family. And many wonderful things have been taught that are a help to families. But I think in God's Word, in the book of Judges, in chapter 13, we have some of the fundamentals that we might overlook. So let's read that chapter together, shall we? Judges chapter 13 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man that appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. And here I'd like to appeal to Mr. Darby's translation. It says, And Manoah said, When thy words come to pass. When thy words come to pass. When they come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do with unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For, and notice these next few words, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, or seeing it is wonderful? Seeing it is wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Or the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. The woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. As I remarked before, this chapter is the preamble to the history of Samson. And some of the details that we will consider with the Lord's help tonight, I believe, help us to understand a little bit about the importance of, may I use the word, the prenatal period of a child. You say, oh, that's not so important. When my child is born, I'm going to walk with the Lord. Oh, no. That's not God's way. God's way starts before the child is born. This dear woman was out in the field. She was barren. I don't know what she was doing in the field. But in verse 3 it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman." Now I'd like to make a remark about the expression, "the angel of the Lord." Many times in the Old Testament, and I think here, I think we'll see proof of it, it is God Himself in angelic form. It's God Himself in angelic form. It's the angel of Jehovah. "And he appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." What a wonderful news that was. Here she was a barren woman, and in Israel that was a reproach. What joy to hear this news. But notice verse 4. "Now therefore beware." Beware. Watch out, I pray thee. "And drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." What do we want for our children? Mothers, fathers, what do you really want for your children? You want business success? Do you want scientific success? Educational success? Or do you want them to be used to deliver the Lord's people from the consequences of their sin? Now, he wasn't going to do the whole job. You notice it says he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Is that your desire? Does that make your heart burn? Does that encourage you to think that one of your children might be used of God to deliver or to begin to deliver the people of God from the consequences of their failure? You know, we're in a similar position today. We've sinned against the Lord. I'm looking at it in a general and specific way, too. We have sinned against the Lord as a people. And God has delivered us into the hand of the Philistines, so to speak. Don't you want to see the people of God delivered from that? And how are they going to be delivered? Who is he going to use? People that are necessarily educated in universities and with great achievements and letters and all of these things? Is that what God is going to use? Or is he going to use someone who is separated unto him? That's what a Nazarite speaks of. It's separation unto the Lord. Separation is not a negative thing, beloved. Remember that. Separation is not a negative thing. It has some negative aspects. There are things we have to separate from. But notice verse 5. He says, "The child shall be a Nazarite unto God," separated unto God. There's two ways we can look at separation. And I'm afraid that many times in an unspiritual way, we get a hold of the idea and the concept of separation, and we think of it only from a negative standpoint. But it's unto God. That's where power comes in, when separation is unto Him. "He that separateth himself seeketh his own pleasure," we read in in the Proverbs. But if God separates us, if God calls us apart, unto Him, dedicated to Him, then that one can be used to begin to deliver the people of God from the consequences of the failure that is so characteristic of us. Now there's something interesting about this. In verse 6, this woman comes and she lays it all out before her husband. She lays it out before her husband. If you asked me, Brother Dick, is there anything that you would do differently if in your marriage? I think one of the things that I most regret is the lack of confidence and openness with my wife. Unpleasant surprises that she received because I didn't let her know about things. And I just say, I plead with the young couples that are here, develop that confidence with one another. And may I say to each one, make it easy to have that confidence. Don't make the person afraid to say something. She came and told her husband, and she says, a man of God came unto me, verse 6, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I didn't ask him where he came from. Neither did he tell me his name. But he said unto me, and this is the important thing, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink. Where do you get your stimulation? And I'm going to address a word specially to mothers now. Where is your stimulation? Is it from the soap operas? Is that where we get it? Where do we intoxicate ourselves with things of this world? Or do we get our stimulation from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God? And I think the lesson here is, and it's very interesting, if our children are to be for God in this world, separated unto Him, it starts with the mother and father. Especially with the mother. Especially with the mother. Neither eat any unclean thing. I think that has a little word for us, doesn't it? Do I have to spell it out? Do I have to detail it? Don't we eat unclean things sometimes? Don't we feed on things that are unclean and not healthful? Do we want our children to be for God? Then don't feed on that stuff yourself. Because it starts with us as parents. We're the ones that lay the groundwork for our children's lives. Oh, beloved brethren, I'm not saying this as one who says, follow my example. Perhaps I tell you, don't follow my example. We've had our share of tears and shame. But I want to tell you this, God is faithful. God is faithful. For the child shall be a Nazarite again to God from the womb. When do we start? When do we start putting the Lord's things before our children and separating them unto Him? From the womb. And how long? How long does it go on? to the day of their death. To the day of their death. There's no rest in it. There's no time when we can say, well, now it's all over. We can go and do our own thing. Well, this stirs Manoah up in verse 8. And I like Manoah's prayer. He entreats Jehovah. He pleads with Jehovah. He says, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. And look what he says, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. We've had six, and I can tell you that every single one was different. Every single one is different. You can't say, well, I did this with the first one, now I don't have to look to the Lord anymore about that. I think this is such a beautiful prayer. What's the first thing that comes into the heart of a couple when the Lord lets them know that they're going to have a child? Do they get down on their knees and say, Lord, Lord, teach us what we should do to this child? Or do we grab a book of human psychology and instruction to see what we're to do? We have a generation or two that have been just ruined by that kind of stuff. Because instead of going to the manual, to the Word of God, we've turned to the wisdom of men. Oh, I plead with you, if you want to bring your children up for the Lord, some of them are well along in their lives already, some of them are little tykes, and perhaps even there are some that are going to come yet. But if they do, how are you going to find out how to bring that child up? Ask him. So Manoah makes that wonderful prayer. Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I love verse 9 too. It says, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. He hearkened to Manoah's voice. God wants to hear a prayer like that. And He'll hearken to it. But you know, there's a little something sad here. Manoah makes a wonderful prayer. But look at the end of verse 9. The angel comes again to the woman as she sat in the field. What was she doing in the field? I like to think, beloved, I won't press it on you, but I like to think she was sitting out there waiting for the man of God to come again. Her husband had prayed for that, and she sat there. Well, he's going to come. He's going to give us instruction. You know what it is to sit in the field, dear mother? Waiting for directions from God. I don't think it's literally sitting out in a field as far as we're concerned, but I do believe it's sitting in the Lord's presence and waiting expectantly for the instruction that He so much wants to give us. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, but her husband was not with her. Her husband was not with her. Why, I don't know. Maybe Caceres, Phil? I don't know. That's a word, good Spanish word, means things to do. Things we've got to do. Things we've got to do. And they seem so important to us, don't they? But nothing is more important, dear Christian parent, than to wait in God's presence, expectantly, for the instructions that He so much wants to give you in the bringing up of your children. I was visiting a brother a few days ago, and he had some things on his heart that he wanted to talk about, but I think one of the strongest things he wanted to ask about was how do we bring up our children for the Lord? How do we ensure that they go on for the Lord? It brought joy and tears to my eyes to think of that. I wonder how many of us really care, want our children to go on for Him, or are we concerned that they become successful, that they have a lot of money? Is that what our concern is? Whether they have a cottage somewhere, whether they have a house with the latest things. Oh, dear ones, I plead with you, the most important thing that you can do for your children, the most important concern you can have for your children, is that they be separated unto the Lord, and that God use them among His people. Don't we need such? Don't we need children? Don't we need little ones that grow up in the fear of God with good principles before them? Fearing the Lord, serving the Lord, living for Him. Which would you rather have? A Jim Elliot for a son, or a Ronald Reagan for a son? I respect Mr. Reagan. I'm not running him down in any way. But which would you rather have? A son that laid his life down in a river in Ecuador in order to bring the gospel to a tribe that was so fierce that Shell Oil had to withdraw their people from the country, from the base, because of them? Or be the President of the United States? There's no question, is there? There's no question, but let it search your heart. What are your goals for your children? What are my goals? What are my goals for my grandchildren? Ruth and I have 22 grandchildren and another one on the way. What a blessing. What a blessing. What is our desire for them? Oh, we rejoice when they come home with a certificate from school that they did well. That makes us happy. But what is our real concern for them? And you young people that are here, I want to tell you that our concern for you is not success. Ever to win the gold medal in the Olympics. What an honor to her parents, but what better honor would it be for, and I don't know anything about her life, so this is not a criticism. She might be a delightful little Christian girl. I don't know. But what is our goal for our children? What is it that gives joy to us? That they be people of God. That they be people of God. Years ago, my mother, I bless the Lord for the memory of her. My mother pleaded with the Lord that one of her four boys, I'm the eldest of four, that one of us would go to Nepal with the gospel. Her soul was burdened for Nepal, where there hadn't been a Christian witness there. And I can remember her pleading with the Lord with tears that the Lord would send one of us there. Now the Lord hasn't sent one of us there. And my mother's with the Lord now. One of my brothers is with the Lord. But I still thank the Lord for that exercise of heart that cared. Because if I had gone to Nepal, maybe I wouldn't be here tonight. Maybe I wouldn't be alive. Are you willing to offer your children for that? or do you want to lay them down on the altar of, lay them down and offer them to the gods of success and money and all those other things, power? We know what we want. Don't we really want them to be for God here? Don't you want, dear parent, dear father and mother, for the children to be for God here? Well, it starts with exercise before the children are born. We don't say, now I'm going to walk with the Lord now that my child is born. If you want them to live for Christ, it's got to start at conception. It's got to start at conception. There's nothing more sobering than to think that God entrusts to your care and mine a never-dying soul to be nurtured for Him. To be nurtured for Him. What a precious privilege to be able to bring up children. I remember Brother Hayhoe telling me that if it weren't for the promise, thou and thy house, Harry Hayhoe, he said, I'd be afraid to have children. I'd be afraid to have children. I have to agree with that because I feel the same way. If it were not for that wonderful promise, thou and thy house. But there is a responsibility on our side, beloved. Beware. Beware. There's danger. Satan is busy. Satan wants our children. Satan works hard to get at our children. Well, verse 10 says, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. There's energy here. She says, dear, you prayed, and I'm with you in that prayer, that God would send that man of God and tell us what to do. Well, he's here. The same man of God has appeared. The one that came the other day, that you prayed that God would send again. So Manoah arose and went after his wife. Brothers, you have the leadership in your home. But there are times when you may have to humble yourself and go after your wife in a spiritual exercise. You think that's wrong? Let me give you an illustration of it. It won't take a long time. Some years ago, we heard that our brother Michael Varschke in Portugal had cancer in his ear. And we loved our brother Varschke, my wife and I. And Ruth said to me, I think we ought to go visit him. I got a letter from Brother Varschke. It said the doctor had given him a clean bill of health. And I didn't have the exercise that my wife had. But the Lord put in my heart to follow my wife in that. And we went over and we arrived there, and Brother Varschke told us very happily that everything was cleared up and he had no trace of cancer in his ear anymore. And I looked at my wife, I said, looks like we wasted the money to come over to Europe to visit him. I don't know if I said it or not, but if I did, may the Lord forgive me for saying it. Because we got home shortly afterwards, after a wonderful visit with him, and we got the news from our brother Hans-Joachim Weber in Munich that Brother Varschke had gone home to be with the Lord from that same cancer. Now, it's only a small illustration, but this woman was in communion with the Lord. Don't be so macho and proud that you can't have the grace to follow your wife when she has the Lord's mind. Does that mean we abandon our leadership in the family? not by any means. But this man obviously had not shown any leadership, had he? He wasn't there. He prayed. Nice prayer. Lord, show us what to do with the child. Send that man of God again. And where was he when God gave the answer? I don't know where he was. But he followed. He went after his wife and came to the man. Then he takes the lead. He says, are you the man that spake unto the woman? And he says, I am. I'm the one. You prayed that the Lord would send me again. Here I am. Here I am. Verse 12, Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. I don't know. Anybody have Mr. Darby's translation here? I think it says, when thy words come to pass. Is that right? Yes. Same thing in the 1960 Spanish version. It says, cuando se cumpla. When your words come to pass. Now that's faith, beloved brethren. It's one thing to say, let thy words come to pass. It's another thing to say, when thy words come to pass. Which is more faith? I believe it's saying, when thy words come to pass. And then he says, how shall we order the child? When your words come to pass, when this wonderful promise is fulfilled, and you give us this little son that we've desired so much, how shall we order him? And how shall we do unto him? What's the angel say? Go buy a copy of Dr. Spock's book? A whole generation testifies that that's a lost cause, isn't it? Does he say go get books on psychology and read all about them? No. It's very interesting. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, remember, I believe this is the Lord speaking now, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. What? Unto the woman? Unto the woman? But I asked you, what do we should do to the child? How shall we order the child? First order your own lives. First order your own lives. Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Beloved, we do not have the right to choose certain scriptures we want to obey and others that we don't. It's one of the devil's deceiving things that he puts into our lives that he thinks, well, if you say this one and this one and this one, certain things we pick out, then things will be all right. It says, of all that I said unto her, let her beware. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Everything the Lord commands us, beloved brethren, in His precious word, we're to follow. When? When the child is born? Before. Before. Now Manoah says to the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. See that, Brother Dick? You said this was the Lord. And he refused the offering. That shows he wasn't the Lord. I don't think so at all. I think the next expression shows why the angel said that, why God said that to Manoah. He says, for Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. He didn't know. As far as he knew, it was a messenger from God, a man of God who would come. It would be totally inappropriate to offer anything to him if that's all he was. Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. Now Manoah says unto the angel of the Lord in verse 17, "What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor." We'd like to honor thee when these sayings come to pass. And there's a wonderful answer here. I know our King James says that his name was secret, but I appeal to Mr. Darby's translation. It says wonderful, doesn't it? Seeing it is wonderful? Yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I think it's maravilloso in Spanish. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Whose name is wonderful? Who has that name, wonderful? We know the answer. His name shall be called wonderful. His name shall be called wonderful. And Manoah takes a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. Beloved, let me tell you this. There's another thing you want to do for your children. You want to take hold of the death of Christ as the only means by which your child can be blessed. There will be no other way in which your child can be blessed except on the basis of the death of Christ. Verse 20, "And it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground." Beloved, get in that position before the Lord with your husband, with your wife, with regard to the children, and there'll be blessing. Get down on your faces before the Lord. Verse 21, "The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord." He knew now that this was the Lord Himself in angelic form that had come down to talk with him. Notice in verse 22, he explains that. He said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." God had said, "No man can see my face and live," hadn't he? When Moses said, "Let me see thy face," no man can see my face and live. Manoah says, "We've seen God, we're going to die." Now again, I think the wife's intelligence comes out here in verse 23. It's interesting that she says, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands." God doesn't have a purpose to kill us. He's accepted the meat offering and the burnt offering. Why do you think He's going to kill? What a view she had of the Lord. Dear sister, don't be discouraged that you can't get up and minister in meeting. You may have the secret of the Lord when your husband doesn't. There's many a sister who's had the secret of the Lord when her husband hasn't. And this dear lady, I believe, had the secret of the Lord with regard to His purposes toward them. What were His purposes toward them? To kill them? No, to bless them. To bless them. He wouldn't have told us such things. Neither would He have showed us all these things, nor would He have at this time told us these things. God has shown us and told us such wonderful things in His Word. Our hearts ought to be encouraged. Beware, yes. Sobered, yes. But discouraged, no. No. Take courage. Well, you say, it's too late. My kids are 17, 15, 12, 10. It's not too late. It's not too late. God still desires blessing for your children. But it's a wonderful thing to me, and I say to you young people that will be married someday, remember this. Remember this. If the Lord ever sends you a child, make it your business to get on your knees before the Lord and seek direction from Him. Don't go to the world for direction. They're giving increasingly bad signals today. I just read an article the other day about states that are actually punishing people for taking children away for corporal punishment. My eldest son, Keith, one day, one of his stepdaughters said to her girlfriends, "My dad will kill me if he finds out I did this." Whatever it was, I don't remember. It was some disobedience. Now, you all say that, don't you? My dad would kill me if he found us out. Dad has no desire to kill you, does he? But that's the overdramatic way of saying it. And her girlfriends called DIFAS, which is the Division of Youth and Family Services in New Jersey, and said her father is going to kill her. Well, they intervened. And an officer came over to the house and examined every child to see whether they had any marks of abuse. And then the officer said to them, "Now, I have to tell you that you're not to lay a hand on these children." Keith said, "Well, God has said something different." And he read her a few scriptures and he says, "Now who do we obey? You, the state, or God?" She said, "Well, I don't see any evidence of abuse here. The case is closed." And she left. She never answered the question. You may be faced with that. You might be faced with that. Go by God's word. Don't go by men's opinions. I don't believe in abusing children. I think there are principles in the Word of God that teach us how to do that if it's necessary. One thing I think God's Word teaches us, and I'll just share this with you because I appreciated when a brother called it to my attention. God's Word never talks about slapping children, does it? It says use a rod. There's something important about that. Get down on your knees with the child before you apply any punishment. Let them see their sin in the light of the Word of God. God will come in. God wants their blessing. He has in mind their blessing. He doesn't have in mind to kill us. He wouldn't have shown us such wonderful things. He wouldn't have accepted the offerings. And God has accepted those offerings. We know that. He raised the Lord from the dead, didn't He? The symbol that He's accepted those offerings. What did Job offer to the Lord when he thought, maybe my children have cursed the Lord in their hearts? He offered an offering to the Lord for each of his children, didn't he? And sometimes that's all you can do. They're beyond your control. They're beyond your hand. You're beyond your influence. But you can always get down and offer an offering to the Lord for them. Plead the work of Christ for them. Well, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want the Lord's blessing on your children? Can't think of anything more precious, more wonderful, than to have the Lord's blessing upon our children. I remember being in a home where I saw on the wall a little text. It was taken from Genesis. It said, "The Lord bless the lads. The Lord bless the lads." It brings joy, of tears of joy to my heart to think of that. God wants the blessing of your children, and He will. But what's our part? Beware, because there's a lot that can trip us up. And a holy and separated life to the Lord ourselves is the beginning of blessing for our children. It's no good to make a bunch of rules when the children are born that you won't put into practice yourself in your own life. The children see that. They see the inconsistencies. Our children see our inconsistencies and take advantage too sometimes of it. Don't take advantage of your parents' inconsistencies. Now I say a word to you. Don't take advantage of your parents' inconsistencies. If you see that, do like Japheth and Shem. Go backwards and cover your parents. I believe that's a godly exercise. What did Ham do? He made fun of it, didn't he? He made fun of his father's failure and fall. The child grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtael. Dear ones, the history of Samson is a sad one in many ways. He didn't live up to what God had in mind for him. God used him. He was used. He's mentioned, I believe, is he not, in the book of Hebrews as a man of faith? He's mentioned in Hebrews as a man of faith. But what a history. And it's only at the end of his life that he really slays the Philistines in the weakness of his restored communion with the Lord. Don't be a Samson. Now, I don't know Manoah's wife's name. Maybe you do. If you do, tell me afterwards. I'd love to know what his wife's name is, Samson's mother's name. But I hope to meet her someday. This woman who sat in the field waiting for God's answer to the prayer of her husband with regard to her children. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to those of us who are parents, some struggling. We have a couple of single mothers in our assembly with children. It breaks my heart sometimes to think of the struggles that they have. Is God going to help them? Yes. God will. Take courage. But you walk, beware and walk in the instruction, in all the instructions that God gives in His precious word as to separation to the Lord. And there'll be power in the life of your children. Let's pray.